We've been in this chapter for, this will be the third installment, third week. And we'll be here again next week, Lord willing. And the Lord just took us to this passage of Scripture in light of a method that we were watching regarding Bible study, a way to study the Bible from some people over in the United Kingdom. And this passage of Scripture just has some very visual, very strong images in these verses that have always been a blessing to me. And so we're looking at the context of these verses, these four portions of Scripture, in light of this study method, and in light of seeing what the main point, the main thought is in all of these passages. The first portion was verse 1 through 3, or verse 4 maybe. The second portion was 5 through 7. Tonight we're going to look at verse 8 through 13. Then the last few verses we'll look at next Sunday evening before hopefully getting back into wrapping up what we believe doctrinally in such as a church. Let's read verse 8 through 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. We look at these verses. We first of all look at the people mentioned, referred to in these verses, and how frequently or how often they're referred to. Amalek is found in 5 of these 6 verses, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 13. Israel is found in 3 of these verses, verse 8, verse 9, verse 11. Moses is found in 4 of these verses, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Joshua is found in 3 of these verses, in verse 9, verse 10, and verse 13. The Amalek here is a descendant of Esau, the Esau that had the conflict and the birthright confusion with Jacob. There was animosity and bitterness and bad spirits between the descendants of Esau and the people of Israel. And Amalek is one of those descendants who would have had animosity towards the people of Israel. Joshua, we know, is going to take over for Moses eventually. As far as I can tell, this is the first place where Joshua is mentioned. The word Joshua is Hebrew for the name Jesus, as we find it in the New Testament. So if you want to consider Amalek as a type of the flesh, and Joshua representing Jesus Christ, there are some spiritual applications you can glean from these verses that we're not going to get into. We compare this text with other passages of Scripture, and we come to find, according to Deuteronomy chapter 25, that what Amalek actually did was attack the people of Israel from the rear, from the back portions where the weak and the most frail. It is probably commonly seen as a cowardly way to attack your enemies. That's how Deuteronomy 25, I think also Numbers, relates to us. That's the mode of his operation. Amalek coming against the people of Israel is the first war, the first battle. We can find, according to record, that Israel had after coming out of the promised land. Excuse me, the land of Egypt going towards the promised land. We find in the first part of Exodus chapter 17, Israel quarreling with Moses. And it's almost as though God changes their mindset from their quarreling with Moses to having to quarrel with a real enemy, Amalek, and those forces that came with him. As we look at this passage of Scripture, what we're in the routine of doing in this order of study is making a list, going verse by verse through the text and writing down a list of prominent statements, key statements. By writing those down, making as many as you can from each verse, it helps open up the passage and the text to you as you consider all of those who have a part in this passage of Scripture and all that God is trying to teach us from this passage of Scripture. In verse number 8, there's really only one thing to write down. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Don't need to chop that up into various parts or into more than one statement. Then came Amalek, one of the people who saw themselves as the enemy of Israel. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. Verse number 9, there's four things you can list as parts of that verse. The first thing is, Moses said unto Joshua, what did Moses say to Joshua? He said, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Third thing that we see in the 9th verse is Moses saying, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill. And the fourth thing that he says in verse number 9 is, with the rod of God in my hand. So Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse number 10, there are three parts to that to put on our list. First thing is, so Joshua did as Moses had said. So Joshua did as Moses had said. The second thing verse 10 contains is the thought, and he fought with Amalek. The third thought of verse number 10 is Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. So Joshua did as Moses had said, fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill as Moses said he would. Verse number 11 has three statements in it, or three thoughts that we can make a list of. Verse 11, first of all, and it came to pass. It came to pass. Second statement, when Moses held up his hands, Israel prevailed. And the third part of verse number 11, when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. It came to pass when Moses held his hands up, Israel won or was winning. When he let his hands down, Amalek was winning. Verse number 12, we have six things we've listed in our look at the 12th verse. First thing we see in verse number 12 is Moses' hands were heavy. They were heavy. As we can all relate to, trying to hold your hands up for an extended period of time, the pressure just gets to you and they become heavier and heavier and heavier to where you can't hold them up anymore. You got to lower them to get some blood circulating. Moses' hands were heavy. The second thing verse number 12 has on our list is they took a stone and put it under him in the fashion of a seat, it seems like, for him to sit upon. They put a stone under him, and he sat thereon. The fourth thing in verse number 12 is Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. Aaron and Hur, I think the key word here is up. They stayed up. They held up. They assisted him in keeping his hands up. As long as they were up, they were winning. They were prevailing. So they set him on this stone, and Aaron and Hur hold up his hands, guaranteeing the success of Israel. We're told in verse number 12, the fifth statement, as it says, Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And the sixth statement in verse number 12 is, and his hands were steady till the going down of the sun. His hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. He sat thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady in that position until the going down of the sun. Then verse number 13, we find three statements we would put on our list. First one being, and Joshua discomfited Amalek. Joshua discomfited Amalek. The second thing we would put on our list from verse number 13 is, and his people. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people. And the third thing we would put on our list from verse number 13 is with the edge of the sword. Israel had sent this select band to fight Amalek. And as Moses held up the rod, and as they prevailed, as long as his hands were up, they fought with swords. And you got to remember, these are the people of God coming out of Egyptian bondage. These are not soldiers. These are not great warriors. These are people of all walks of life as they served as slaves in Egypt. But they got a great victory against Amalek. And they fought against him and his people with the edge of the sword. So we all are familiar with this passage of Scripture. As I've said, this chapter has four parts to it that are all fresh in my mind all the time, and I think about these stories and their imagery from time to time. The murmuring of the people against Moses, the striking of the rock, and God giving water from the rock and a river that followed them all the days of their journeys. The Amalekites coming against Israel, and Moses being there on that hill holding up his hands, and Israel prevailing as long as those hands stayed up. First portion of Scripture from this chapter, we looked at the subject of grumbling. The people grumbled against Moses. The second portion of Scripture that we looked at from this chapter, we looked at the providence of God, the provision of God, as is seen in his having Moses strike that rock and a river of water come forth. Tonight, as we consider this familiar passage of Scripture, the word or the thought that the Lord has impressed upon our heart and upon our mind is the word and the thought of cooperation. Cooperation. We find in these verses, verse 8 through 13, a prime example of cooperation and how victory can be won and great things can be accomplished when God's people cooperate one with another. So we learn, first of all, that the people of God must cooperate with each other. That was key to their driving off the Amalekites. It was key to their driving Amalek and his foes away. They had to cooperate with each other. You have Moses, you have Joshua, you have Aaron, you have Hur, you have the men of verse number 9, and then you have the they referenced in verse number 12, which could have been Aaron and Hur, or it could have been just two or three unnamed people who were a part of the victory. Then you have the number of those that Joshua chose. Not a single one of their names are given. Choose us out. Choose for us men to go and fight with Amalek. It is believed by some that by his tactics and coming from the rear, he attacked Israel in a place where a great army couldn't turn and fight. The topography, the nature of the land, the lay of the land probably made it necessary for a smaller foe to go forth. And so Moses has Joshua choose us out men to go and fight with Amalek. Choose us out some men. And none of those men are mentioned. Not a single one of their names is given. But every single one of them is important. Every single one of them was necessary. Every single one of them was a part of the cooperation that we witness in this passage of Scripture. We need to remember and learn from this passage of Scripture that we need each other. We need each other. We need to remember everyone can do something. Not everybody can be in Moses' place. Not everybody can be in Joshua's place. Not everybody can be in Aaron or Hur's place. Not everybody can be in a place of great notoriety. But we need each other, and everyone can do something. That's always the case in the work of the Lord. Everyone has something that they can do. Some will say, well, I don't ever do anything. I can't do anything. All I ever do is sit on a pew. Well, that's something. And it's important. Sitting on the pew represents these ones who are chosen to go to war. No notoriety in that, but a key part of the victory that God gave them. What we have to remember is we need each other. Everyone can do something. And everyone must be willing to serve. We must have that spirit of willingness to serve. Moses did what he was called to do. Joshua did what he was called to do. Aaron and Hur did what they were called to do. Those that were chosen to go and fight, they did what they were called to do. And every one of them had to be willing to serve. Unnoticed, without notoriety, without recognition. I think about the 45 years I've been in the ministry. And I think about the untold number of those who were just faithful church members. Just every service, you'd find them sitting in their place. Every service, you'd find them being faithful to the house of the Lord. Maybe feeling unnecessary, unneeded. Maybe occasionally feeling unworthy or unappreciated. But they were a part of all the victories that came when the fights were going on, and they were there in the part. How important are they? In the day and time in which we live, they're just as important. I want to say they're just as important as the Aarons and the Hurs and the Joshuas. They're just as important as the Moses and the Moseses that come along. See, cooperation, when you use the word cooperation, you speak of cooperation, we tend to think of socialism. We tend to think of, oh, somebody needs to do something for me. That's not cooperation. Cooperation is fighting in unison for one spiritual victory. Cooperation means everybody pushing in the same direction. Cooperation means everybody pushing at their ability to push, doing their best, and pushing forward to victory. You may not be able to do what the other person does, and they may not be able to do what somebody else does, but everyone needs to be involved, and everybody needs to be pushing forward at their capacity. That's cooperation. That's what cooperation means to me. It's not about receiving some benefit or being given some handout or receiving something. But it's about being a part of the unison fight. Fighting in unison with God's people. And being content, as we'll see next week, in God getting the glory and not self. So the people cooperated with each other. But we also see in this passage of Scripture that the people cooperated with God. They cooperated with God. We need to make sure we not only cooperate one with another, but we need to be in cooperation with God. Because God is the one giving them the victory. Moses is just standing there on top of that hill, holding up what? Holding up the rod of God. And that rod represents the authority of God. That rod represents the power of God. It's representing a dependence upon God. It represents to us that the victory that they got was because they not only cooperated with each other, but they cooperated with God. If we're going to be successful Christians and a successful church in the day and time in which we're living, we must cooperate one with another and see the importance and the need for each other, but we must be sure we're in cooperation with God. Because all the cooperation we have with each other is nothing if we're fighting against God, if we're fighting against the will of God, the purpose of God, the intention of God. We must first and foremost be in cooperation with God, and then cooperation with one another. And you find that in the story. They were on the same page, we like to say. They were on the same page with God. They did what they did here in this passage of Scripture under God's direction. And God gave them the victory because they were in cooperation with Him. And they were in cooperation with each other. I thought of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. verse 5 through 11. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So you see cooperation in these words, in these verses. Paul and Apollos and Peter and others, they weren't fighting each other. They weren't pulling apart from each other. They were all striving in the same direction, though at different times, for the same cause, the same purpose. Notice what he says in verse number 9. For we must be the ones that have been mentioned previously in these verses. For we are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We are laborers together with God, the Apostle Paul says. Paul, along with those other ministers, carried out what his time and purpose was in the work at Corinth. And God gave the increase in each one of their ministries and purposes. And Paul says they were laborers together with God. We need to be in cooperation with God. And last of all, on this subject, the people need to cooperate with each other. People need to cooperate with God because God's the one who gives the victory. But along the lines of cooperation, I want to put before you the plain and simple truth that God's men, those who God calls to be his prophets, those men that God calls to be his preachers, his pastors, to be successful, they need the cooperation of God's people. God's men need a few good men to help, support, to teach. God's men need a few good men who will come alongside of them and help hold up their hands. You don't help yourself, you don't help the people of God, you don't help the church of God, you don't help anybody by standing in opposition to the man of God. But you benefit yourself, you benefit the church, you benefit the purpose and the mission of God when you come alongside, you stand beside the man of God, and you hold up those hands, because sometimes those hands get weary. Those hands get tired. So God's men need a few good men to help, support, and to teach, etc. God's men need a few good men who will lead others, as Joshua led these men into battle. God's men need some people who will fight for them and not fight with them. We love the imagery, we love this story. I envision Moses up there and all of those who played a part in the victory of this day. And it teaches us about cooperation. God's people, the Lord's church, the Church of Jesus Christ, wherever you may speak of, needs to cooperate with each other. The people, the church, whatever church you may be speaking of, needs to be in cooperation with God. And God's men and God's prophets always need the cooperation of God's people. They can't do the job on their own. They can't do the job without help. They can't do the job and keep at it without somebody to come aside and hold up those hands, to bring a place and say, "Here, set. We'll fight with you. We'll stand with you a little bit." We'll look at the last three verses of this chapter next week. As the